You were listening to Ladies POV with Yo Amika. Let's get this show started.
Hey, what's going on, world? This is Ladies POV. I am Mika, and she is
Yolanda.
And again, this is Ladies POV, powered by Anchor. You can hear us on all streaming platforms that you listen to, because we are there for your listening pleasure. How are you, Yolanda?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
You know, I'm hanging in there. I'm doing just fine. Taking everything day by day.
Okay. Fantastic. That's all we can do out here. You know, we know what kind of times it is out here, so that's all you can do.
That is tough times. You know, they're not gonna last always, but
no. Here
we are. We living through history.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, isn't that crazy? That was so funny, because I was just talking to my son about that. Because I forgot what instance that we were talking about. And, you know, I was telling him, I said, you know, life is just not in your phone and you have to, there are things that only happen like at certain times. And I do think, that's what it was. Cause he was saying, he was asking during like when the Spanish flu hit, you know, during that epidemic, did they all wear masks then? And I said, well, it was a different time then. That might not have been a thing. I mean, it may actually have been stay in your homes until, you know, and don't let anybody else in until it passes.
Right.
Or, I mean, until it's, you know, gone, or, you know, however they handled it. then, you know, I said, so like our times are different. There's a little bit more technology out. There's a little bit, we know more things. We're able to detect what it is a little bit faster, and maybe, you know, much faster than they probably did back there, you know, early 1900, you know, to try to get it under control.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, we live through these things, you know. I said, so that's kind of how you tell your life. You know, you kind of want to, even though they're bad things, you kind of want to know, hey, you know, where, you know, in 2020, weren't you alive? Didn't you, you know, go through that? You know, when people ask you this later, like later on in life, yeah, I remember back then when that happened. You know,
and it's crazy, because I never thought that we would be living. I don't know that we would be living in such times that, you know, right. We used to read about in the textbooks.
Right. Okay. Exactly. That's exactly it. And what's so funny is that, you know, when he said that, I kind of reflected in my mind, you know what, in the 40 decades. I mean, the 4 decades that I've been on Earth, almost 5 decades that I've been on Earth, you know, it's been quite a bit that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about it, whether it's weather related, whether it's economic related, whether it's, you know, the government. I mean, just a lot of things, or health related, you know, a lot of things have happened that are, are very significant. I'm assuming, well, I don't know if textbooks will still be going on, you know, in the next 10 to 20 years, everything's online. But I mean, just to have that much information in, you know, out there. I mean, anything from, I don't know, you know, like Hurricane Katrina, maybe, to, like for me too, like Space Shuttle Challenger, you know, explode. I mean, every just has been, you know, 9/11, there's been all the different health, you know, SARS, you know, swine flu, what, you know, MERS. I mean, all those, you know, health issues have gone on. Whether they've actually they haven't really affected the United States as much as this pandemic has with the coronavirus, but man, I mean, just first Black president. I mean, you know, the market crash. I mean, so many things, recessions, I mean, just things that
I've been going back to protests.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
I never in my wildest dreams thought that, you know, we would be seeing as many marches and protests.
Exactly. These days,
you know, I guess in more recent times, because, you know, just listening, I mean, looking back in the textbooks and, you know, reading about it, mm-hmm. you're like, man, you know, they did a whole lot. They marched for this and they, you know, marched for their freedom and voting rights and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are. You know, people are out here marching for women's rights still, you know, marching for, you know, the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
Marching for, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I never ever thought that we would be living in such times. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to me when I think about it. I'm like, man, these kids are going, they're living through history right now. Is this what our, you know, grandparents and great grandparents, you know, did they know that they were going to be living through that at that time? Like, did they think about that time? I don't know, man. It's just history. I've never been a history buff, I guess, until I got older and was able to appreciate history.
Right.
And, you know, just everything that we are living through right now, it's crazy. Like, to this, you know, to this administration now, you know, with the presidency.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, like, what? It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, you know, we can tell our great grandkids or whomever, you know, we had a reality star as a president.
I mean, yeah. I mean, well, I mean, you know, but I guess it would have been no different than Ronald Reagan being president. He was an actor.
You're right. But I guess because it doesn't resonate with me because I was younger.
Right.
When Reagan was in office.
Right.
You know, I think I might have been in, I don't even know. When was he in office?
Oh, Reagan was the 80s. He was in the 80s.
Was it the late 80s or early 80s?
He was the first president to do 8 years. So I was going to say that. Yeah.
I was in kindergarten. I was born in 84. I was in kindergarten by the time about Ronald Reagan. So I didn't really understand. Yeah, see, I didn't really understand anything then. Like, who's thinking about that?
Right.
You know, now.
Yeah.
We got a whole reality star in the White House.
Yeah.
Seems like a show every day.
Right. Yeah. Ronald Reagan, was the 80s. Like, he was the whole 80s, basically. He was that whole decade president.
Okay.
And then it was, you know, then it was the Bushes and Clinton in between there. And then Obama started us off in the new century. But yeah. But like I said, again, like you said, how, you know, depending on what, you know, what time you grew up, it's even still with that, you know, like I said, these past, you know, 30, 40 years have been really riddled with a lot of historical moments or historical events.
And I mean, like, and it's just been a lot.
You know?
A lot, man.
So, and I guess I just should reflect, you know, when I reflected on, you know, when he said that, you know, when my son asked that, it was just, wow, it just took me back, because I was like, wow, thinking in my head again, just a lot of stuff that, dang, really? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's been a lot.
Right.
I didn't even think about, like, even with sports. It's a lot. It's a lot has happened with even with sports. Anywhere from, you know, the drug scam, P, PED scandals to, mm-hmm. you know, even like this, shutdowns, you know, strikes, right. You know what I'm saying? The season's been cut, you know, all kind of stuff. Contract negotiations not going through. I mean, it's just, it's really been, you know, the number of players that have been in and out of trouble. I mean, I just would never have thought.
Never. We would have never, never thought. It's wild, man. It's wild.
It's just, you know, it's a you know, like living history, I guess, you know, and I think that's the way I would put it, like a living history. I mean, yeah. I mean, history is made every day, but it, you know, when you just see it, and again, it could also be the fact that there's so much media everywhere.
And everybody
at this point is a reporter.
It's changed so much. We're all over social media, you know, platforms, and just everything is being shared at any given moment and second of the day. So now we're so like immersed. We're immersed in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. We're living in like historical times presently. Like, I don't know.
Right.
But I know that you wanted to talk about. The Last Dance.
Speaking of history, The Last Dance. There's been some. Now The Last Dance is now completed. You know, all 10 episodes have been aired. It's just really funny to me because I guess maybe starting after the second week, so maybe like a third or fourth episodes, maybe players from different teams, from his own team, Michael Jordan's team, come from talking about the Bulls, have seemed to have like a couple few issues with how this so-called documentary has been handled, or how the story has been told. And just off the break, I was a little confused because I'm thinking, you participated in this. I mean, granted, they weren't all in a room talking about it together, as we can clearly see from the episode. Right. You know, everybody's getting interviewed in their own way. I don't know. As I told you before we really started, you know, don't really know if this stuff was edited for content, or if, you know, there was Jordan, and maybe Jordan had final approval on what was being said. But you see throughout the series too that it doesn't appear that he knows about certain interviews. Well, maybe he knows that people will be interviewed, but he hasn't really heard their interview because the interviewer hands him the tablet so that he can
see exactly what, so he can see
Isaiah is saying, Sky is saying, Horace Grant saying. He's handing him so he sees what they're saying and he reacts to it. Could that have been played? Could that have been part of what's going on? I don't know. But he seems to have a rebuttal for everything, or a comment about everything that's being said. So you hear the controversy. I guess the biggest one for them was, the biggest one that I thought of was Horace Grant. Now, Horace Grant seems to think that Michael threw him under the bus about things that I guess were what they call like the Jordan rules. Okay.
Right.
He was trying to say that he had told the author of this book, which is called The Jordan Rules, certain things, just certain little things about, you know, Michael Jordan had basically kind of like, you know, Michael kind of gets his way, you know, and then that's just really that kind of it. So Horace is saying, I didn't tell anybody anything. You know, if that dude printed anything, you know, that he was, you know, he was wrong. He talks to me. And I know, you know, during the film, Jordan says, you know, a lot of people who wrote things about him never came to talk to him.
Right.
You know, I did know that a lot. And quite honestly, none of those authors or people who wrote anything about it actually came up and said, hey, no, we did this and this and this. You know, they were going on from what they, you know, either hearsay or from what, well, I mean, that is hearsay, what other people have told them about Michael Jordan, but he's never been approached by any of these people who have written anything, you know, his opinion or, you know, his side of the story one way or another.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Horace Grant was a little upset and, you know, he was bringing up the fact that, you know, well, maybe Michael Jordan, maybe you're the snitch. I mean, you're sitting here telling everybody that, you know, you walking into hotel rooms when you're a rookie and they got coke and weed and they drinking and stuff at the hotel rooms when you walked in. And I was just like, yeah, I did kind of feel a little bit. I mean, because I'm like I said, when I'm reading these things, these comments and seeing these and hearing these stories, it's kind of funny because I'm like, yeah, Jordan, I mean, how are you going to just say that out loud? You know, just maybe they were doing some unsavory thing, you know, yeah. you don't put it out there. I mean, it's not like anybody can't go back and say, well, who was on that roster when he came into the league? You know what I'm saying? And go back and say, oh, these people were doing this. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're putting people's business out there. So he kind of felt.
Heard that too. I was like, oh, well, wow, damn. You're just gonna put these people all out in the street like that. Okay.
Right.
I mean, granted, you know, he wasn't dropping, but still, like you say, you can go back and see who was on the roster at that time.
Right.
And maybe pinpoint and, you know, who or point the finger at who it was. But that didn't have to be said.
Right. Exactly. And that's why I was just like, you know what, that's kind of crazy because, you know what I'm saying? It just, again, if you've had your opportunity to speak on some of these things in the film. Now, like I said, again, they weren't all sitting at a table together going through the stories. Everybody was interviewed for, you know, their individual parts. I don't know how the interviewer did it. Obviously, you know, they edited, put it together. You know, I'm going to assume that everybody was able to see this before it came out, or at least, you know, get a rundown of what was going to be added into it as it.
Yeah, that's what I want to know too. You know, because if you saw it before it came out, then you know you probably should have voiced those opinions beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of things that you did not like instead of after it's aired to the public.
Right.
I guess you could have went to whomever and say, you know, I don't like the way y'all did this. But I still don't understand why they have opinions about what was talked about when they were doing the interviewing. I mean, you know, they were getting interviewed.
Right.
And telling their side of the story. So I'm not understanding this at all.
Right, because to me, I think that just like they were handing him, you know, Michael Jordan the tablet, they should have been handing the tablet to these other players saying, well, this is what he had said.
Yeah, that's true.
So you could dispute it. And, you know, again, as I've seen with a lot of these documentaries on things, whether it be, you know, something of this caliber, 30 for 30, football life stories. These it's told from a specific point of view. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. If you thought it was going to be something different, then you find out that it's kind of not, or they're taking bits and pieces. But this is like everything else in the world. You take in kind of what you want and you kind of put pieces of it in there together.
And make a good story.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, well, you know, did they not see it? Were they not given the opportunity to see, you know, 10 hours worth of, you know, a story before? I mean, because it just, again, it could just be the fact that maybe they could have wanted a little bit more time with it to be out in June. Maybe they rushed it because, hey, nothing else is going on. Let's put it on ESPN getting viewers every Sunday night. I don't know. But it's really kind of crazy to me that, you know, I mean, because even Dennis Rodman came back out and was like, you know what? Michael Jordan just, you know, and you can all also see this too throughout the series. That dude just wanted to win. If you didn't, and if he was like the kind of like super tough love, basically he pushed you to the limit. If you didn't like it, if you didn't have tough enough skin, you couldn't play there. You couldn't do anything. Like I said, and if that isn't the most, the best example of how putting, you know, winning heals, like, yeah, the best example of how winning heals everything. You guys weren't complaining when you were winning rings. You guys weren't complaining when you were getting better contracts.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? And for you to now say, okay, X, Y, and Z. I mean, to me, Michael Jordan was on a mission. He knew what he wanted to do, you know, get on board or don't, because you couldn't, because like I said, I'm not a huge Jordan fan, but you cannot dismiss what he does. You just can't dismiss it. He works hard. I'm going forward. This is what I want. And he makes sure he gets it. Yeah. That's why anytime you had something to say about anything, he just shoot jumpers. He don't shoot threes. He doesn't go to the rack. The next game, boom, all day long. You know, he'll have, you know, the highest rebounds. He'll score you out the, you know, out of the gym. I mean, anything that you try to tell him that he can't do, he does.
Yeah. And that's why people want to be like Mike.
Exactly. I think that if everybody had that type of, you know, mental attitude, I actually think the game would be more exciting, because everybody's in there fighting for it and not thinking, oh, okay, well, y'all gotta get this game, we'll get another game. I mean, I don't think the time that he set up.
That's the problem with, I keep, like, as I was watching that, I'm like, you know, he just wanted to win, and he did what he could and did not stop at it to win. These players now are soft. We know that they're soft. They've got load management. That is soft to me. Right. You cannot, these players would not last. They wouldn't last in, you know, the Michael Jordan era. They wouldn't last, not one bit, because they are lazy, and their work ethic, I'm not going to say that they don't have that work ethic, but they don't have it as strong as what Jordan has. As I'm watching The Last Dance, I'm thinking about Kobe and how Kobe has, what, five championships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about that because why? Because Kobe worked hard. I see so many parallels between Jordan and Kobe. Now, I don't think Kobe was as harsh. At least I don't think he was.
Mm-hmm.
But I see so many parallels, and I'm like, you see how this is, like how Jordan is and what he does to get better and better and better each season so he can win. People, if you're not strong-minded, you're not gonna be able to be on a winning team. You're just not. Look how the first stint with Dwight Howard lasted in LA. He couldn't be Kobe.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because he wasn't ready. That mentality was not there. If you don't have that mentality, then it's just not going to work.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Jordan, I'm not a huge Jordan fan either. I rocked with Jordan back in the day because everybody else, you know, was Chicago Bulls fans. So I tried to get into it too. But seeing what he did and seeing what he did, you know, how he was that leader and got those players riled up so they can win those championships, man, to me, it was just about all these people who have multiple titles and, you know, their work ethic. I'll bring Tom Brady into it too. Again, I don't know if it's as harsh, but you see how hard these people work to get to where they are. And that's why they have multiple titles under their belt.
Right. And you push it. But it, you know, also, to me, also pushes the other players, regardless of your attitude towards it, pushes you to be a better player. It actually, you know, helps you to elevate your game, hopefully elevates your game. And I know, and don't get me wrong, some people, because even again, during the documentary as well, you know, they were saying how when Jordan had, you know, had retired that first time, how the team was still out there, they were still doing well, and how the approach was, they were still working hard, they were still doing what they had to do, but, you know, it was a little softer. You know, Scotty wasn't hard, and some people, it takes different things for different people to get motivated to do things. So there's some people who maybe need that, you know, like that's why you hear a lot of these, you know, like they'll send their kids, well, you mean, just go to the military. You know, some people need that discipline and structure.
Yeah.
And there's other people who don't respond to that well. They need a little, and you know, like I said, and if you can produce the same thing, you know, using another method, then that's fine. But I think where the problem comes in is when you use that different method and you're still not getting the results. And I think that that's what some of those players probably really couldn't handle those kind of things. I mean, how much dedication do you have? I need to get back in shape. You want me to film this movie? I need a basketball court. Bam, no problem. They built you a bubble with a full basketball court, workout gym inside, and you invited players to come out there and help you work out.
Huh?
Right. Cool. But who else does this? Do you need, I'm saying, not only that too, again, who comes, you know, everybody knew about how, you know, Summers, you know, Jordan would invite players to, you know, come out there and work out with them, this, that, and the other. I mean, maybe he is scouting out the competition. I don't know. But either way, you have an opportunity to work out with one of the best basketball minds, you know, in the world. And are you kidding me right now? I mean, who? Nah, I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
because you're hoping that maybe if you don't have quite what it takes, maybe it'll rub off on you a little bit. You know what I mean?
As soon as you put the work in, that's when it's going to rub off.
And the only people that are coming too are people who want, you know, like I said, who kind of probably have that hyper mentality as well, you know.
Yeah, and the people who really want it.
Yeah, and you know, but they want to really raise and elevate their game. So you know, like I said, I'm not saying that these people, you know, these players don't have their they're right to be upset or whatever. But again, when you're involved in these kind of things, and regardless of editing this, that, and the other, I mean, you know, again, you see it. I would take it as a grain of salt, with a grain of salt. You know, come out with your interview later on, as some of them did. And I didn't agree too much with that, you know, or, you know, that's, you know, not the way I remember it going down. But, you know, it's his documentary of the season. So of that particular season at that time. So you know what? Okay. I mean, it's you're not going to, you know, they're not going to take your rings back because you said something. They're not, you know what I'm saying? Your life is not going to be ruined. But, you know, but like, as, again, you know, like I said, Jordan was just that type of person. If you weren't helping him to get to what he wanted, not only that too, he's done this ever since the beginning. So this is not something new. If you're not there to help him, or, you know, be on his side, on his team, then he was like, yeah, well, if you're not with me, then you're against me. So I'm going to move on. And then people took, you know, like, oh, so you mean we can't be friends? No, because you're not helping me. And I mean, I kind of take that in life, too. I'm not going to keep you to my, I'm not keeping you to my inner circle if you're not helping me to get to the next level. I don't even want you to be stagnant. I want you to be progressing as well, because I'm trying to progress. I can't be around you if you're not progressing, because then that doesn't motivate me to progress. And I'm hoping that my progression would motivate you to progress. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he does that, and people get upset with that. Oh, well, he cut so-and-so back. Well, you want to talk trash and do some more stuff? Yeah, I got, you know, I don't need that. I don't need the negative.
Right.
Because I mean, have you looked around lately? Does it look like he's made too many bad choices?
Okay.
I mean, does it look like he's made, you know, a little known fact too? You know, he's got restaurants too. If you didn't know already, he's got steakhouse. Yeah. You know, so I mean, I mean, people to really look, even like some of these players, I'm going to need you guys to look and really understand where you are still and where he is.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's dropped off.
We haven't dropped off because they're still releasing the same shoes that they released when we were younger.
They re-released.
You can't just say Jordan's a new head.
And they got, he's got a whole rack of, well, maybe not him personally, but that Jordan brand has signed a whole lot of people. And I think just recently, I want to say that Sean Payton from the coach for Saints, signed Jordan brand.
Wow. Yeah, the Jordan brand is definitely not falling off the bandwagon anytime soon. That thing is going to be everlasting.
Because again, still, who wants to be like Mike? Everyone. You still want to be you, but the mentality, I think that when people say that, I think it's more of the mentality, not necessarily, the achievements, of course, you would want to try to do that too. But I mean, I think that you strive with that mental ability to do and work ethic to do and get things done. So I don't know, but that was just my little take on it. I was just, seeing there was a lot of, between Scotty, definitely Horace. Like I said, it was a big to do. I know there were quite a few. I know Isaiah, Isaiah Thomas, Detroit Pistons, had a few little a few little things to say there. I think Isaiah's trying to be the cleanup man. He's just trying to not put himself in a bad light. And then
pretty much.
Right. And then, a few of those Houston Rockets players from back then. His teammates, they didn't have a problem when you're winning. But then again, maybe it was a thing too, where I don't want to say anything because we are winning. And if I say something, I might not be on this winning team anymore.
I'm just trying to get this. So let me just be quiet.
I mean, incentives, bonuses at the end. I mean, that means a lot. I mean, again, you win it. And then of course you have to play for yourself. But if your performance is well, too, again, another team might be kicking out bigger money for you. This team might be kicking out bigger money for you. So, again, winning, that's proof positive that winning cures a lot of the stuff.
It sure does.
A lot of stuff. And them winning, like I said, didn't seem like anybody was complaining then. Yep. I mean, I think little troubles here and there. I mean, I don't think that Horace and Michael Jordan got along together a whole lot. At the same time, it wasn't big enough for them to be like, to have some big to do. And like I said, it didn't stop them from staying there to win some rings.
Surely did not.
I guess overall it was entertaining, a lot of stuff to hear some of the, behind the scenes stuff. And I guess too, to hear Jordan speak a lot because he doesn't usually speak too much and he definitely hasn't since he's been gone from the league. So,
right.
Well, he's not really totally gone from the league scenes though, he owns the Charlotte, the Bobcats or whatever. So,
Bobcats were at the Hornets.
Are they in the Hornets again?
I think they're back to the Hornets. I don't know.
Again, this is awful. So
yeah, they're back to the Hornets.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
I know what you mean though. But yeah, he, still has stake in that, but still doesn't come out very often.
Mm-hmm.
And gives interviews and stuff. So. It was. I learned a lot about, him and them and his story and coming up and all that stuff. And yeah. I remember, one particular part, and then I'm just going to move on. But the part about his dad, I remember learning about that, and hearing about that as a kid. And it was just so sad. Because I know how close he and his father were.
Very much so. Very much so. Very much so. Yeah, that was a little crazy. I'm a conspiracy theorist, so don't get me started on that. Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. We're just gonna move on.
But yeah, that was sad. Yeah, absolutely. But the, speaking of, there's not so much conspiracies going on here with NASCAR. So NASCAR is, I guess, you know, I'm going to say the first sport to come back after after the virus. I know that in June, which is like in a week or two, I know that the PGA will be back, if I'm not mistaken. But NASCAR's been back, and they have already run two races, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they've won. They've run two races already. So they did two. I don't want to say back to back, but they ran two races in Darlington, and now this coming Sunday and Wednesday, they're also going to be running two races in Charlotte. So they're trying to get back on track with the season. There aren't any fans in the stands. So that's kind of, that's a little bit different in that sense.
It seems weird because I was watching, I don't know if it was, might have been highlights or something, and it was showing, you know, just the cars going around, but it, it just seemed like it was a practice.
Exactly. Oh, I hear you. Yeah, so yeah, it was kind of weird to see.
Fans, it just it bothers me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know we're used to seeing those stands packed.
Well, absolutely, and now there's crazy amount of I mean, not just it's not just the stands really either. I mean, it's the parking lots. It's the because people come when I tell you. With these RVs, with these 50, 60 inch TVs, I mean, they're right outside and they're still watching, you know. I mean, it's like, it's like I guess any other tailgate. I think their tailgates are a little bit more extravagant than others because, like I said, these people bring like RVs, like literally homes. I mean, like, these things are like amazing. I didn't even know they made RVs that look like this. Some of them. They are beautiful, but yeah, they come out. I mean, people come out all over. I mean, there are, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. It's mad crazy. So yeah, so it's so different to see it not have any of that, you know, especially with the warmer weather coming around too. Everybody's out, but yeah, they wanted to. I know it was a big thing in order for them to catch up because they want to run the entire season, you know, 36 races. So they want to ride. So they're having the midweek races, which a lot of drivers really actually wanted to have. So this was good for them to be able to, you know, have midweek races. And they had chosen Darlington and Charlotte because those were the two that. The two racetracks that were the, you know, the green light to come on in race.
You know, okay.
And so Darlington is in Virginia, right? Darlington's in Virginia. But Darlington and Charlotte are kind of close together, so they don't have to travel far. And Charlotte, of course, you know, that's the kind of like birthplace of, or, you know, NASCARs are kind of based in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, they're kind of close together. The same thing, you know, they're doing a lot of safety stuff as well, even with the people. I mean, you would think, aren't they already wearing like, you know, like helmets and stuff? Yeah, but still, you know, still after making sure masks, making sure the temperatures, you know, people are getting their temperature taken. You know, things, you know, fines are serious for breaking all of these rules. So, like I said, they're doing the most. And I think, again, it's a little bit different because, you know, NASCAR is not necessarily a contact sport in that sense. So, right. You know, so their comeback is going to be a little bit different than, you know, say NBA, NFL or Major League Baseball, you know, where. There's several, you know, several people together at one time, you know, in an area. I mean, because, you know, like I said, you know, with baseball, you have the dugout. I mean, are you going to be able to put people 6 feet apart in the dugout? Or are you going to just, you know, rely on people's temperatures and maybe a mask until it's time to get up to bat? I mean, I don't know. I know that they're still working out details, but I do know that Major League Baseball wants to come back with a quickness, and they're making arrangements to do, you know, just that here very soon, because they want to salvage as much of the season as possible. Now, you know, like I said, hockey and basketball, just two different sports. I know the players on both ends want to really come back. But again, a lot of them too also want the fans to be able to be there, but it's just not, it's just not going to be possible.
It's not going to be possible because there's no way that you can have arenas and stadiums and have people 6 feet, because then that means that you're what, maybe at half capacity?
Right.
And I was reading the other day about, or maybe it was a few weeks ago, you know, about football coming back and, you know, them possibly playing without any fans. And I believe it was Aaron Donald who said it wouldn't, you know, it just wouldn't be fun without the fans there, because pumping that fake crowd noise is one thing, but to have those fans there to help motivate you and get you to that next level and give you your second win because they're so into it, you're so into it, the game's on the line. It wouldn't be fun. And I agree, it would not be fun at all. We can't have, you know, if we can't have that this season. And you know, it just saddens me because I'm so looking forward to the season happening. Now, mind you, NFL released the schedule. We got preseason games, we got our regular season games going as if, you know, everything is going to be fine, which I'm glad that they did that. But reality is really setting in as I don't know if the season is going to start on time. I don't know. I guess maybe we have to wait and see, you know, what happens. But I just don't know if the season is going to start on time.
Right.
It's just, you can't, to me, you know, you can't have it, but you got people out here that's ready to risk it all to get to a football game now. People are like, you know what, I need my football, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to have my mask on. As much as I want to go to a game, I'm not going to nobody's game with a mask on. I'm not doing that.
Mm-mm.
I can't do that. You know, I've talked about wearing that mask. I hate it. I hate it. To the grocery store. So to go to a sporting event with a mask on, nah. It's not, it just can't. I can't do that. But
how you feel? You can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy your snacks or anything like that.
Exactly. And as much as people like to get up and go get beer every 5 minutes, and you think you're gonna with a mask on, and like, no, that's just not going to work. It's not going to work.
It
just, it sucks.
Right.
It really sucks.
Yeah. So I just really don't know. I think that's going to be the biggest part of it. I don't think, obviously I think that the organizations themselves are going to take every precaution possible with their players, with their staff. So that to me isn't really the big problem. The big problem is whether or not the fans are going to be able to come and participate as well. And you're right. It's a big part of those particular sports. All sports. But I mean, at least I know NASCAR is a little loud. So, I mean, you know, you're focusing on the road, on the track. So, you know, maybe, you know, till, you know, only at the beginning and the end of the race are you really kind of interacting with the fans, or the fans are kind of really seeing stuff. But but with baseball, football, and hockey, those kind of things, you know, that's, it's really it's a necessity. It's really a necessity for folks to be there to do what they have to do.
Is, you know, trying to score, or, you know, the other team is at the free throw line, and who's gonna boo? you can't get that effect in crowd noise. It doesn't work.
No, it really doesn't. And I'm really kind of wondering if there are any, you know, what are teams doing in terms of, I know football season's kind of a little, you know, ways away, you know, the very tail end of the summer. But what are they doing for the folks who have, I paid for, you know, season Nats tickets? You know, are they pushing that back? Are they crediting you? Are they saying, okay, well, you know, we'll put those games on like next season, or, you know, put that money on next season? I mean, because some people aren't working. So if, you know, maybe I need that money, maybe you need to refund that to me.
That's so true. That
for those games that I'm not going to, that you're probably not going to be able to make up. And even if you did, I mean, would you try to press some of those games in, which means now I have to, you know, find a way to get to these games now that I would, you know, maybe normally have made a plan for. Now I've got to go to games, I don't know, 2-3 nights, you know. Well, baseball is almost like that anyway. Play 2-3 nights in a row. But.
Yeah.
It's just
kind of crazy. Questions.
It's kind of crazy to me. So, yeah, so it's a little different. Like I said, again, waiting to see. But like I said, NASCAR's already made that comeback. So hopefully, hopefully they'll, you know, the other sports will find a way to come back.
I surely hope so, because, man. I'm missing it.
I mean, it is, like I said, but, you know, I mean, they're slowly starting to reopen things. So maybe, you know, gathering. Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, I could really hardly see the gatherings return more, because I know that there's, like I said, it's still, I don't want to say rampant, but it's still pretty. Some areas are you know, just kind of like hit with it, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, I know the D.C. area is one of the highest in the country right now. So,
yeah.
We can't afford that. And then, you know, I hear about a second wave in China and they might have to shut down again. But then hearing that if we have a second wave, then, you know, we're just not going to shut down. But, you know, that came from our administration, who's a whole joke. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of, it's going to be a whole lot of stuff going on. Like I said, it's more of a day weekend. People want to be out. The weather's getting better. It's going to be hard.
Folks are out in the good District of Columbia. Folks are out.
Yeah, it is so.
You know, people are having cookouts. Okay, people are having cookouts, and I saw one yesterday in some area, and there was no PPE, no social distancing. It was just a regular holiday weekend, and you know the grill was smelling good, so. I think people are just tired and they're going to do what they want to do. And, you know, just be safe and just think with your head, people. Don't risk it all for a cookout, a holiday weekend and whatnot. Just don't do that, please.
Yeah, it's really, really. It means really bad.
You ain't gotta risk it all. It's fine. I promise. We're gonna get through this together, but we need everybody to work together and you know, continue to practice social distancing.
Right.
And wear your masks, please, because there's people dying out here left and right from like I personally know a few people that have passed
from
this. So it's not a game. Wear your mask and, you know, practice social distancing and still continue to stay home as much as you can. Although the weather is very nice out, but, you know, you got to do what you can for your health. And on that note, we have come to the end of our show.
Yeah. Yeah, just, I tell you.
I know. I know. But, yeah, so this was great. Another great show under our belts, you know.
Indeed.
Just one last thing I want to touch on. I felt like I went to Jamaica last night. Okay. For the versus battle to Timbaland Swiss Beats versus TV. It was Bounty Killer versus Beanie Man. I had no plans on watching this battle because I know about 90s dance hall and stuff, but I'm not really too sure of their music. Because I don't listen to a lot of reggae. Whatever it comes on the radio, whatever was in the clubs back in the day is what I listened to. I did own Beanie Man's Art and Life. Art and War. I think it was Art and War album. I did own that because I loved it. Like, it was just everything from start to finish, and it still is because I surely was listening last night after. But man, let me tell you, I partied this. First of all, they had the DJ set up, you know, because they were waiting for Beanie Man and Bounty Killer to come into the building. The DJs were, man, they had us going. Like, it was a whole party last night. It was such a good time. Such a good time. And then Beanie Man and Bounty Killer showed up. They did their songs. They talked about the beef that they had and how they, you know, squashed it, and they've been, you know, cool ever since. Man, it was just so much love last night.
Good deal.
What we needed to see, you know, our community is just so, like, so jaded and act like, you know, outside, like, we can't come together for, you know, a common cause and show love to one another. We can do that. We can celebrate each other. And that's what they celebrated each other. They did like four songs with the same rhythm that was never unreleased and never heard of. I guess maybe they made them up on the spot. I don't know, but it was hearty, and I enjoyed every moment of that. Every moment. It was so, like, it was so much fun. I was hot in the house. Now,
That's right.
Like, you know, I was really on somebody's island, and I've never even been on anybody's island before.
Girl.
I was like, oh my God, when this is all over and I'm able to travel, I gotta get to Jamaica. I gotta get there. Like, I need to be on somebody's island, you know, just dancing in the sand with my shoes off, kicking up sand, and just eating food and drinking and having a good time. That's all I need. But last night, you know, brought the island to my house and to everybody else's house. And it was so much fun, though. But I loved, like, that had to have been, I would say, hands down, the best battle that we've seen. Erykah Badu and Jill Scott. Like, they were together in the same room. So that was the first time that had been done, because obviously we are, you know, in different states, but they on the same island. So they were together in the room. The DJs were set up. The sound was good. The Wi-Fi was excellent. Because as we know, some people have had issues with their with their Wi-Fi. Teddy. Nelly. The internet is crazy for those.
I need y'all to get it together.
Yeah, like, so, but that Jamaican Wi-Fi, yeah, that thing was on point. The police showed up.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, the police showed up. I don't know what happened, but they, Beanie Man said, the police is gone now. Let's continue.
I know, that's right. That's, yeah. But, minor interruption. Let's go. Yeah,
pretty much nothing to see here.
That's funny.
Oh my God. But that was so much fun. That was so much fun last night. So much fun. Like, I love the weekends because of these battles, man. It's just good music being played. And then, you know, they had an after party. And then once that was over, like, everybody, you know, D-Nice was already on it once the battle was over. So, you know, you could put the channels and all the DJs were on just doing their reggae sets and stuff. It was like the reggae room at the club.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. It was real cool, though. It was cool. I had a good time. Such a good time last night. They got 112 versus Jagged Edge coming up on Monday.
I heard that.
Yeah, but apparently I didn't know that 112 had broken up and it's only two of them now. I couldn't tell you which members it was because I don't remember. Jagged Edge, I don't know if it's going to be all four of them. Because the last time I seen them, it was three of them because one of them was locked up. You know, it's just a lot.
Yeah, you think that's a lot?
It's a lot. Oh my goodness. And truthfully, I'm personally not looking forward to that battle. Like, that's one battle I probably will not watch. Because 112 bored me the last time I saw them. Like, I saw 112, Jagged Edge, God, Next, J-Man. I saw all of them together in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And 112, I'm saying they got to get off the stage because they bored me. So, I wasn't feeling them. I was not feeling them. And I used to be a 112 fan, but I wasn't feeling them. Jagged Edge, though, I don't know. I might have to tune in just for Jagged Edge because they got some hits that I like. They got some hits that I do like. So, I don't know. I might have to tune in for a little bit and see. And then also, Babyface is breaking down, waiting to exhale Sunday, today, this evening. So I definitely have to check that out, too. Because that's one of, like, the greatest soundtracks ever in music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too.
So... we'll see. That's, you know, all that's happening on the music front for right now. And that's what I'm doing, and that's what you should do too if you're interested.
Absolutely.
You know, listen to something good, watch something good, and continue to homeschool your kids. I know it's the final stretch. Some kids are out of school already.
I know. And especially like in the South, they're out of school.
Yeah, they're out of school already. You know, I'm just waiting for us to let it go for the rest of the school year.
Yeah, because they have to, my son has to go pick up their things at the school. And I was a little confused because I'm like, how do you know what stuff is his? Because they plan on handing it to you in a car line outside. I'm like, huh? How do you know that you got all my kids' stuff? I mean, I'm confused.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how I plan on doing it.
That's going to be a whole... yeah, that's going to be a lot. And, that's just something I'm not even ready to think for. I mean, to think of. And how that's even going to happen. So, on that note, this has been another episode of Ladies POV.
Yes.
And we're going to come at you next week. So absolutely. We'll be here, and we hope that you are too. Have a good one, guys. Wash your hands. Stay at home.
That's right. Wear a mask.